This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Loveline with neo-feminist entrepreneur and talk show host Amber Rose.
I'm going to be talking about sex, relationships, and self-confidence. Everything from sexual curiosity to self-empowerment.
Amber is joined by certified sex therapist Dr. Chris Donahue.
I'll be talking about my own personal experiences and answering intimate questions from fans.
This is Loveline with Amber Rose.
Hey, you're listening to Loveline with Amber Rose and Dr. Chris. What's up, Dr. Chris?
Hey, you. What's going on?
Chilling, man. How was your week, yo?
I spent my week at comedy clubs.
Interesting.
On Sunset Strip.
Nice. That's cool.
Well, it's interesting because everyone's there. It's Judd Apatow's running around. Dane Cook is running around. So you're standing there. You're like, I know you. I know you. I know you.
Sick.
Yeah.
So it was a good week for you.
Yeah, it's a fun crowd.
Damn.
Yeah, they don't play around.
I wasn't invited, but whatever. I'm like never invited to like his eventful week.
Because it'd be too much of a thing. The way you come rolling in, could
That's
you imagine
so
what that would look like?
Up.
We have to let security know you're coming. We got to make room for you.
No,
you have
I just creative sneak VIP in the back area. With my slut hat.
Yeah, exactly. You sneak in somewhere. People can spot you blocks away. They're like, we know that. We know that silhouette.
Oh, that's whatever. Muvel.
That's muvel.
I don't know what I did this week. What did I do? Nothing.
You look good though. Last time I saw you, you weren't feeling well.
Yeah, I wasn't. I was actually really sick last podcast. But yeah, I do. I feel better. I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
And we have a special guest, Jessica Rodriguez. She is my day-to-day coordinator.
Yes.
And she's going to sit in today with us and talk about some cool shit. And that's because our podcast sucks and we can never get celebrities. So...
Yeah, we might have to have Anon in a minute, producer Anon as a special guest to clarify some of what that's
no
about.
No one wants to come and talk to us because we talk about like furries and anal and shit.
We actually have some interesting people coming up to guest on here.
Yeah, we do. Do you want to?
Yeah, we have T-Boss from TLC.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that's fucking huge.
I'm so prepared for this because I have a story to tell her.
I think I know the story.
You kind of do.
Yeah.
I'm really stoked about
Did
it.
Did you like lose your virginity to like... To like no, TLC?
No.
Am I tripping?
You are tripping. That would be a cool story though.
Oh, okay.
No. I lost my virginity before they existed as a band.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, they didn't exist yet.
Old as fuck, bro.
I know. They weren't around to be there for
okay,
that.
No ageisms.
That's right. Thank you.
All right. So you're in charge of like the cool news stories and shit. Oh, I'm always late. And yeah. So like...
Well, let's talk about this for a second. Okay. So, it just came out.
Yes.
Have you seen it, anyone?
I watched half of it.
In the theater?
Yeah. I saw half of it, and then I had to go to work, because I was, like, running late, and I was like, fuck, I gotta get dressed. So, I saw half.
Say what? How does that happen? Wait, what?
Well, because I was gonna see an earlier show.
Who goes to a movie when they have to be somewhere and can only see
half? I'm an asshole. That's why. Basically.
I actually have a meme I'm gonna send you. I've held on to it for you, Amber, for the perfect time. And it's the picture of a watch. Instead of numbers, it just says, it doesn't really matter, I get there when I want.
Yeah, yeah. Me as fuck. Yeah.
I'm gonna send that to you.
Okay.
So what did you think of half of the movie that you saw?
So I'm a fan of the original.
Right.
And I thought they had scary moments. I feel like I saw like three quarters of it. It had scary moments, but I also felt like it looked very computerized and it was pissing me off.
Yeah.
Because the original It was kind of just like
real.
It was real, but it was really disturbing because he was like killing kids.
Yeah.
And it kind of left you with like a really fucked up feeling, which I like out of a scary movie because I'm a fan of horror.
Yeah.
And this one was kind of like, I don't know, like there was a scary moment and then it kind of like turned extra computerized and digital and it like fucked up my scary moment. And
okay,
it
well,
pissed me off.
It didn't get any better after you left.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
All right.
But There's something going on the internet where there's people that are telling romantic stories and crushing on Pennywise from It. Pennywise is now people's
he's hot
man crush Monday.
I'm not mad at that.
He's hot.
I would totally beat that.
What part of it are we aroused by, Jessica?
I don't know, that smirk, that that come hither girl, I'm gonna get you. Yeah.
But that also lets us in on what's going on in your personal life. You want to be got, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Pennywise.
Yeah. Well, there's people that are telling stories of dreaming about him, having a crush on him, fan fiction about cuddling him.
The actor is very handsome underneath the makeup. I've seen a picture of the actual actor.
No.
He was pretty hot.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he's not hot. I just think it's funny that you have to undo all that makeup to get to that. But
no, I'm into the makeup. Oh, I'm just saying maybe that's why people feel... You know what, Dr. Chris, I can't.
You're just nasty.
You're so nasty, girl.
That's all that is.
I'm not mad at it. I'm definitely not mad at it. I just went to Halloween Town in Burbank to find the It costume for myself just so I could wear it, like, randomly. They ordered it, and it's going to be here the end of September. So I put down my order so they'll call me when it comes in because it's going to instantly be sold out. So I'm like a fan.
That might freak out Sebastian a little bit. That costume's scary, no?
Yeah, I don't think my son's ready. Well, he watched the first It. And so, like, when we take a walk, he's like, Mom, it's in the sewer. Like, he's over there in the sewer. And, like, we just, you know, we laugh about it because my son's a fan of horror as well. But this one was a little extra. Did you watch it?
Yep.
You saw it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are you a fan of, like, the first one?
Yeah, but, I mean, it was a different time.
Yeah.
The quality of it was a little different.
Yeah.
This one was kind of a different movie, but kind of the same.
It was kind of the same, but yeah.
But I like the original more. The original felt very much like the Stand By Me, Goonies kind of feel.
Yes, it was very right? Goonie-esque.
Yeah, and I like it was heartwarming and... Yeah.
Heartwarming.
And then
killing kids is heartwarming.
Oh my God.
No, but the surrounding vibe of childhood and childhood struggle and bullying and adulthood.
Then, yeah.
I don't know. It just wasn't that good. I mean, what kept me through the movie was the pretzel bites. Like, we went to that Eden Theater where they serve you food while you're watching the movie.
I need that address.
Yeah, because it's the food that kept me going.
Yeah.
It's all about it. Yeah.
All right. Well, we have a caller. Brittany is on the line. Hey, Brittany. You're on with me and Dr. Chris. How are you? How can we help you?
I'm so good. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So my question is about squirting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my, like, little bit of backstory is, I mean, like, I'm 25. I've probably been having sex for 10 years, so I would definitely consider myself experienced and also kind of like sex positive. Like, I'm usually comfortable with things, but I feel like in the past 6 months, I would say I had a boyfriend and then we broke up, and now I'm dating someone new, and both of these last partners I've started squirting when we're having sex, and it's great, sure, but I also, like, hate it because it makes me really self-conscious, and I feel like I have to get up and, like, change all the bed sheets immediately, and, like, of course, like, the guys are like, oh, my God, it's hot because they're guys, but I don't know. I wish I could make it stop, and I don't know how to stop being kind of like...
I knew that was coming. Amber Hart, boo-hoo. Amber's heart breaks for you.
Where's my little violin? And the guys think it's hot, and you're just like... I'm so embarrassed. I'm like, my vagina.
My orgasms are too arousing and overwhelming.
Whatever.
I mean, congratulations that you're comfortable enough and relaxed enough that that's happening. I mean, that's what I want to tell you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Right. Like, I think great sex is the kind of sex that requires removing the sheets.
Okay, so are we gonna talk about that she's peeing herself when we talk about this?
Yeah, because that's why I don't like it. It's piss, you know.
Well,
like,
listen.
So I'm like, ugh.
Dr. Rose wants to talk to you for a minute and explain something. Dr. Rose, do you want to step in?
I just feel like it's pee. I don't know. Well, and I don't think, and it's not,
it is pee.
But it's not a bad thing because guys, just like guys don't know what we go through with our vaginas, like, they don't give a shit that it's pee because they made that happen. So it turns them on. It's like, oh, I did this.
Well, and let me say this. Yeah. So what usually happens is a lot of that ejaculate comes from the periurethral gland, which is the gland right there near your urethral opening. So there's going to be a component of pee to it. But bigger than that, pee is like 95, 99% sterile.
Interesting.
So we don't have to worry about pee. We can drink pee.
Drink it. Yeah. Yeah.
People will do that at times when they need hydration.
I've seen that documentary.
See?
I did.
Yeah. So let's not be afraid of pee. In fact, I love pee involved in my sex life in different capacities. I think that's awesome.
You sound really Philly when you said that. You said, in my sex life, I love fucking pee, bro.
I mean, Gino's. So I love that. Talk about intimacy building. I mean, you are sharing body fluids. You are getting close. You are letting them in.
I'm gonna pee later tonight.
Please.
Oh man.
Yeah, but honestly, like, all jokes aside, Brittany, like, don't feel self-conscious about that. Jess, you were saying earlier that you squirt.
I have, yes.
Do you do it like every time? Or,
No. I have to be really into you. And I'm not embarrassed about it. The guys like it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But does it have to be like super like long stroke? Because sometimes when you do like the extra long strokes, mm-hmm. like all the way in and out, it kind of makes you feel like you have to pee, but it feels good at the same time.
Yes,
that's what it is.
Yes, but I'm prepared. Like, now that I know, I have like a special towel, special sheets.
Yeah,
yeah, be prepared.
Be prepared.
Confidence.
Yeah.
Confidence.
I didn't know there were towels and sheets, like special things.
Well, you just personally have like your special towel.
It's like when you have sex with your period on. You put the towel down, open a window, and go to town.
I haven't done that yet.
Put the towel down and go to town. I mean, yeah, the worst thing you can do is to start to get some anxiety about it, because that's going to like kill your arousal. You're going to start to shut down. It's going to get uncomfortable.
So, that's how I feel. And the other day it happened, and he was like, okay, let's go to bed. And I'm like, we're not going to sleep in pee. That's that. And he just didn't care.
I mean,
and I just got super stressed out about it. So,
yeah, but just, I mean, instead of saying we're not going to sleep in pee, just be like, no, babe, you know, let me just change the sheets real quick. Mm-hmm. That's all. Let's just get comfy. You know, let me just dry this off real quick, instead of making it like a bad thing that you did.
Yeah. And I want, and get comfortable with that in general. I mean, so my favorite lube is coconut oil.
Mm hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm in a monogamous relationship right now. We don't use condoms.
Mm-hmm.
We use a lot of coconut oil, and that tends to stain and stay on sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And so almost every time I have sex, it requires changing the bed sheets
Kapari.
Or wiping down the counter or the couch or cleaning the rug, sometimes wiping down the hood of my car. I mean, there's a lot of cleaning.
Damn.
I like to have sex all over, but.
Yeah. I ain't mad at you.
Yeah, I mean, I am dating someone in the porn industry, so.
Right.
You know.
Got to keep it flavorful.
Mm-hmm.
I know. That's all right. Well, good luck, Brittany. It's not really. Don't make it a big deal. Just own it, girl. Have fun.
Okay. Enjoy. Oh, well, thank you. I love you guys.
Love you too.
Thanks so much.
For sure. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
It's such a good topic, because it's always interesting to see where people sit and weigh in on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when it came up, Jess is like, yeah, I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At first, I was embarrassed. But now if it happens, I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, because it feels good. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. I don't know what that's like, but whatever.
You don't know what a lot of things are like.
Sorry. I know. Why am I so vanilla? I need to like.
I'm going to go out for like a boys' night with your man, and I'm going to just talk him through and make him challenge
you.
Oh,
my God. Yeah.
So you don't make him bored.
Fuck you.
We're trying to go forever with this. So
right.
I want it to be long term. All right. So speaking of which, talking about pornography, this is actually kind of amazing. I'm shocked no one's come up with this. So there's a website called ijustcame.org, and they're getting people to masturbate because for everyone who watches a video on that website, they give a penny to charity.
Oh.
But it gets better.
Okay.
You are limited to 2 donations a day.
Wait, hold on. So you sign up and you must look at 2?
No. Okay. They don't want you to spend all day donating.
Oh.
Some people would be making a lot of financial donations, you know, watch a lot of porn.
A penny though? Yeah. Come on.
I'm just saying, look. They're saying,
so they're just like, don't fucking suck us dry.
Thank you.
No pun.
Yeah. And there's a 15-minute cool-off between each charitable orgasm.
Jesus Christ.
This is the world we live in now.
Sometimes I need like 2 minutes.
Well, you're going to have to sit there for 15. Calm down.
Go make a sandwich.
Go make a
sandwich. Come back.
You can circle start back. Again. Get your two pennies in there.
Oh my God. Two pennies. I can't.
Yeah. I mean, they came up with the idea, they said in the article, after a drunk night of partying at their frat. So.
I mean, I'm not mad at it. Is right. it like a, it's like a membership based.
Sure.
Probably website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. After they launched, they got $1,000 already right off the bat. It's pretty good. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I don't know how much they've gotten in total thus far, but.
But yeah. Are you able to pick your own charity is the question.
That's a good question. So each penny per self-pleasure is divided up between three charities. The Movember charity, the Movember Foundation, which is about prostate, I believe. Ovarian Cancer Research Fund and the Joyful Heart Foundation.
Oh, okay.
For cool. sexual assault victims.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Brilliant.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Welcome back to Loveline with Amber Rose and certified sex therapist Chris Donahue.
All right, we have Jessica on the line. Hi, Jessica. You're on with me, Dr. Chris, and the other Jessica that's here visiting. How can we help you?
Oh, my. Hey, Amber. Hi, Dr. Chris. Hey. Hi, other Jessica.
Hey.
So my question for you guys is, well, actually, maybe geared more toward Dr. Chris, is I've had this question that I've asked a couple of my OBs and things like that, but I always get like an unclear answer or I'm embarrassed. So my question is that when I do abdominal workouts at the gym or even some other workouts, I get orgasms. And I want to know what causes that or why it happens and how I can implement that into the bedroom, I guess.
Oh, wait. Walk me through that last part. What do you mean by implement it into the bedroom? How can I bring those movements in to get an orgasm
with
my partner?
So I don't know. I can't explain it. So, sure. For instance, I don't know if you're familiar with CrossFit or... Sure. So I do toes to bars. So like a lower abdomen workout.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
Or like the captain's chair, that causes them a lot too. And
is that when
never
you like roll your lower body, the captain's chair? It's lower abs,
yes,
right?
Like kind of like lower body ish type stuff, or even like when I do the ab roller, it
oh,
happens
right
with that too.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Our pelvic floor muscles are kind of like a looping musculature that loops around our vaginal area down and around our anus. And so all of those mm-hmm. body parts in between are connected and are... that anatomy sits at the lower end of our core. So when you're working your abdominals, you know, we talk about our core, which is like our midsection,
yeah.
the lower levels, mm-hmm. it hits the pelvic floor muscles. And so all your sexual anatomy is connected. So it makes a lot of sense that when you're activating that area, you're activating that area. And we have different nerve centers. And for some people, they're lower, maybe closer to their anus. For some people, they're higher up. And that's why some people can get stimulating orgasm from their U-spot, which is their urethra. You mm-hmm, can stimulate mm-hmm. that area. For other people, it's the meaty outer lips that are maybe going to generate more arousal. Some people, that nerve system's deeper, so they need stronger stimulation for longer periods of time. Other people, it's more superficial, so they need just gentle touching. So you're strengthening that area, you're working that area. That's going to help you also just long-term in life with continence, vaginal tone.
But she's asking how could she incorporate it into her sex life?
Brilliantly. Yeah. If those muscles are really strong, you want to work on contracting them, tensing
okay.
them, releasing them.
I would say more
sex.
like riding is or even underneath. Like sometimes when a guy's like stroking you on top, if you just move like you're kind of doing like a crunch.
Yeah.
Underneath.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Okay.
But you're also giving a solution to a lot of women that have trouble getting to orgasm, where if you work some of those muscles, you might realize that you have a different level of control or sensation than you had prior. So.
Yeah.
You
don't worry about him.
Just with what you said with the urethra.
Yeah.
Because whenever I read magazines or do my research, nothing has ever talked about that.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
that kind of makes sense with what you're saying. So
yeah, I try to tell people don't get so hung up on our sexual anatomy just being our vagina or not our but your vagina or your clit that The urethral area, also the perineum, which is the area between your vagina and your anus. Also, some people, that's why they enjoy anal sex. They have a lot of nerve endings in there. That whole area.
Yeah.
That's why I'm an all-over body lover.
Yeah.
Right?
Which your number, Dr.
I'll hit you later.
Yes. And actually, I know I discussed with Anne that I would only discuss this thing, but I just wanted, because I'm going to have my boyfriend listen to this, because he didn't know that fact about me either, but my boyfriend actually worries all the time. He's like, well, I don't please you because you don't orgasm every time. But I tell him, like, not, women don't orgasm every time. Like, right. It pleases me to please him. And so if you had any input on that to tell him.
Here's the thing. Most guys will orgasm most of the time. There are some men that don't orgasm all the time. Women, a lot of times, it's more difficult for them to orgasm, especially because a lot of women date guys who aren't willing to do what it's going to take to get them to orgasm.
After.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hang in there long enough, do it in the right position.
After he comes, he could make you have an orgasm by using his fingers, his mouth.
Yep.
It's not over for you, like, just because it's over for him. Yeah. So.
But if it doesn't happen, I mean, I always try to bring people back to, what is the point of sex? Fun, connection, pleasure. That doesn't always have to mean orgasm at some point, right?
Right.
True. And so it's about just being more mature around our definitions of why we're doing this and what we're trying to do, and confidence building.
All right, well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Jess.
Thanks.
It bums me out. I work with a lot of couples where they feel that way. Like, if both of them don't orgasm, then something's wrong. You're not attracted to me.
Yeah.
I didn't do my job. And it's like, sometimes you're right, you didn't.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it is very difficult for women to orgasm. Jess is like,
not, no. Jess. I mean, Jess is our perpetual.
Every time.
I try every time, yeah.
I mean, yeah, we try every time, but
most of the times, yes.
I'm so hating.
I'm sorry. I'm very aggressive, and if I want to orgasm, I'm going to orgasm.
Yeah, I feel you.
I had a girl, I love that. If I want to orgasm, I'm going to orgasm. I'm going to make sure you are there to help me get there.
For sure. If you got yours, I'm going to get mine.
I know that's right.
That's why we love you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I actually posted this on my own social media because I thought this was so phenomenal. So, you know, we hear these stories about guys telling, saying, oh, if I see a guy trying to hit on my daughter, he's going to have to get through me.
Right.
I'm going to tell my daughter's boyfriend the rules. So this father who's trying to be a feminist, love this man for this. He went viral because he posted what he called the rules for dating my daughter and included things like, she makes the rules. It's her body, so ask her, because her body, her rules.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like going crazy because they're like, who says that? Like, this is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, non-sexist parenting.
Right.
And I was like, props.
Yeah. Because guys are like, don't fucking touch my daughter. She can't do shit. Don't try to kiss her. Don't try to do nothing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, some fathers, some parents think that they own their daughter's bodies and sexualities. We've heard of the is it called a chastity ball or
chastity belt?
What do you mean? Ball.
Well, there's like events where the father puts like a chaste ring on his daughter's finger. You marry your dad.
Your dad.
You got me all the way fucked up.
Yep.
Nah, that's gross.
You marry your dad. He puts a finger on you.
A ring on you.
Promise. Yeah, a ring on you.
There was a couple artists who did that.
I mean, Freudian slip, right? Mm-hmm. That's in there somehow. Right. And he owns your sexuality, and you promise to not give yourself away to someone else but him. I guess till you get married.
Until you find someone that you're going to get married to. And then you take that ring off and you get your engagement ring. And then you get married and then you're good.
And then you have the worst sex of your life forever.
Probably.
Well, and you've also been trained to believe that you need a man to make your sexuality acceptable.
Right.
And that if your dad doesn't own you, then this new guy does.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Come to the slut walk.
Please. Right. October 1st, Pershing Square, downtown LA. You'd tickets are there. Free. Promo code, thank you, Reebok. Get them free tickets. All right, we have Angie on the line. Hey, Angie. You're with me,
Hello,
Dr. Chris and
Amber,
Jess.
Dr. Chris. Hey.
How you doing? How can we help you?
All right, so here's my question. I've been with my significant other. We've been together for 5 years. We have a child that's about to turn 3 soon. So what I wanted to know from you and Dr. Chris is I wanted to spice up the bedroom a bit. But he brought up the idea of bringing someone else to the bedroom. But I'm a little bit, I'm not insecure, but I am jealous.
Wait, so you said he wants to bring somebody to the bedroom?
Well, I'm willing to as well, but I'm kind of, I mean, I'm open to the idea, but I'm not sure if when, my fear is when we get into it, then I'm going to be like, okay, I don't want to do this because I'm so possessive and jealous.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what Dr. Chris is going to say.
I love this game.
Because I know what he's going to say, and I know you want his opinion because he's a doctor and shit. Okay, Dr. Chris is going to say, threesomes don't always have to be, you know, your boyfriend fucking another girl, right?
Okay.
It can be like the girl right. and your boyfriend just doing everything to you. Just to make the situation more comfortable for you, where your boyfriend doesn't have anything to do with her at all.
Okay.
And also, you know, if you're uncomfortable with that, then you can ask him if you want to bring a guy in instead of a girl.
Oh, I already asked that, and he was like,
no, exactly.
We all knew where that was going.
But yeah, I mean, if you want to, if you want to bring a girl in, you could just be like, yo, I don't want you to touch her. I don't want you to have sex with her. You know, she, you and her need to just have sex with me. That's it.
Oh, okay. I mean, what other tips do you recommend as far as, like, I know you're a mother and I'm a mother as well. Because, you know, once you have, like, a toddler, it's hard because you're, like, on a schedule. Like, what time is he going to sleep? So, I don't know if you and Dr. Chris have any other tips just to spice up the bedroom a bit.
Besides a threesome?
Yeah.
And also in relation to having a child to worry about, she's saying, too. A child's schedule.
I mean, yeah, it depends. Like my son is on a very strict schedule, so I know exactly when he's going to bed. Because, you know, I put him to bed the same time every night, so I know when I can have a life after that or do whatever I want or go out or, you know, get a babysitter and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like if... you wanted to do something a little more out there where you're able to like make noise and not have to be super quiet in the house, then, you know, you should have a babysitter, you know, or like take your baby to, you know, your sister's house, or your mama's house, or something like that. So you can have the house to yourself with your man and be able to not, you know, have limitations on what you want to do.
Yeah, I have some patients in my practice where like once a month they'll get a babysitter or take the child to a family member and they'll rent a hotel room.
Yeah.
Just to add that extra
level. Yeah, that actually sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, because you're out of the house. Mm-hmm. There's something sexy, at least to me, about hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Like I get turned on when I go to a hotel room.
Yeah.
Because you're like away and there's privacy mm-hmm. and there's something really like sexy about it.
There's like two. Mirrors and yeah. shit.
There's just two, you're just the six of us. Like it's really.
Oh my God.
No, but I think you're onto something. The fact that you're just calling in and you care is already a good sign because that means you're thinking about it. Sex is important to you, and that's really valuable because there's a lot of people that are just kind of like, eh, it is what it is. Sorry about it.
Right.
You know, I have a kid.
Yeah, now. I mean, as I got older now, I'm kind of open to it. Before, I was very like, no, not at all. But now I'm like, okay, we've been together long enough, but I just don't want it to, when the time comes, when we do somehow find the girl, I don't want it to be like, oh my God, I don't want to do this.
Well, a couple things. Number one, always remember that you're a priority. And so if you've committed to something and then it starts to go in a direction where you're not comfortable anymore, interested, you absolutely have a right to be like, hey, you know what? I'm sorry to do this, but this doesn't feel okay to me anymore. I don't want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to talk to your mm-hmm. husband about that ahead of time, saying to him like, hey, I feel okay about it now. And if that changes during, I'm going to call that out. And I need you to respect that. And then also you can say to him, here's a list of things I'm open to having have happen. And here's a list of things I'm not.
And then also what Dr. Chris would also say is you be in charge of the girl. Like you have her number. It's somebody that's not a friend, not a homie. You know, you can delete her number and fucking never talk to her again. He doesn't have access to her after. And it's just kind of something that you guys did as a couple.
You're right.
Because it's not about her and it's not about him using sex to get to know her. It's about her being brought in for you two to get closer to each other. So, yeah, it's really important.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jess?
Okay. I haven't. No. All right. Well,
yep.
Well, I'll be open-minded to that.
Call back and let us know. If it happens or doesn't, call back and let us know.
I'll let you know. I mean, I'll try the hotel thing pretty soon because my birthday is coming up soon. So I'll try the hotel thing, see how that goes, and see if by then we find someone. If not, we'll just have the hotel room to ourselves. So.
And sometimes I just love the dirty talk. Like sometimes I don't need that person, but talking about what that would be like and what we would do is really arousing. I like the dirty talk.
Yeah, I mean, what I try to do is I actually went to, what is it, PornMD?
Yeah, Amber's
and I looked
favorite.
Up, like,
it is.
That is literally my life.
I know, this is Mama's favorite.
Yeah. It's well, like Google for porn. It's amazing.
So that's how I discovered it, listening to you guys. So I tried it. And I was like, wow, it literally has everything you can look for.
It does. It really does. Yes, it does.
Sure do.
Thanks, PornMD.
It's so good.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. You really answered my question. Now I'm a bit comfortable now.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks, Angie. Good luck.
All right.
So, Jess, you were like, give me the not so much face.
No, I've been asked by couples. I just have never done it.
What, threesome?
I had a threesome, no.
What was your reasoning for not wanting to join a couple?
I knew them. They were friends.
Oh, okay.
And from the get, the husband was like, well, I can't penetrate you. I'm just going to watch you and my wife.
And I just... You didn't want to fuck her with his wife.
No, I just... No. Yeah. I like her. I respect her. I don't know. I don't... No. Not them. Maybe in the future.
Yeah.
Someone that I don't know.
I think a lot of guys like to see like two girls get it on, but then it's like it's almost fake if you're not like if you're not attracted to the girl or you're not like
that sounds horrible.
If you don't have like lesbianic feelings ever for a girl, you're just like kind of like, oh yeah, and it's just fake as fuck.
Yeah.
That's horrible. No one wants that.
Don't horrible.
Yeah. Don't bring that to someone. It's
the worst.
Okay. Sir.
Yeah.
We love talking about gender and LGBT stuff. So it's sad to me that this even needs to be said, but and that we're still even doing studies on this. But a study was done, actually with a really large sample size, looking at the difference in raising a child in a same-sex parent dynamic and a mixed sex. So man and woman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And guess what the study tells us?
It doesn't fucking matter.
Amen.
Yeah.
In fact... The studies actually show that there's some benefits to being raised with same-sex parents.
Because you're more open-minded.
Damn straight.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. More higher levels of compassion, more open-mindedness, better communication skills. Yeah, you actually fare better socially.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, we have Maria on the line.
Hey, Dr. Chris.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm calling in. thank you guys so much for doing this show. I love you guys.
Oh, for sure, for sure. We love you too. How can we help you?
So a little bit about me. I got married about 2 years ago, and I really love my husband a lot. But I grew up in a really religious household where there was like a lot of shame and fear around just topics of sex and sexuality. So I kind of like moved out and went to school and kind of defined my own sexuality and how I felt about that and body positivity. And then I got married. And I guess my question is, just within the past year, I've kind of found out about polyamory. And before, just given my kind of like religious background, I really had like no idea about it. Like I didn't even know that it existed. And for me, just kind of hearing stories from friends who are in polyamorous relationships and knowing more about those kind of relationships, I feel that that's something that I'm attracted to and I'd like to try out. But I guess my problem is my husband is really wary of it. And I think that he's kind of worried. Just when we've talked about it, he has said things like he isn't sure why we even got married if I just wanted to, you know, be in relationships with other people, which I don't feel like that's using good language around that kind of discussion.
Yeah.
But also just I think my issue was I literally didn't know anything about it before when we started dating, and then when we got engaged and married. And it's only been in the past couple years that people are talking more about it. And I've had friends who are talking more about their own polyamorous relationships. So I guess my question is, should I go ahead and try to pursue polyamorous relationships and just kind of hope that my husband goes along with it? Or what should I do? Because I'm not really sure. I'm very interested in trying a polyamorous relationship.
Well, what does that consist of, though, Dr. Chris? Is it like a full-on other boyfriend or other girlfriend?
Yes.
Full-on.
Multiple committed relationships. Serious relationships at the same time. My first question is, when you presented one of the options being, should I pursue it and hope my husband goes along? What does that mean? Like, tell him I'm going to do it anyway and hope he doesn't leave me?
Kind of. Like, I've been kind of talking with him and telling him that he would be able to pursue other relationships too, and trying to just talk around more of like what our boundaries would be if we both started doing it, or if just one of us did it. And I think his big thing is he's more concerned about like the physical and sexual side of it. He's admitted that he's a little bit jealous and he doesn't want me sleeping with other people, but at the same time, he's saying that he doesn't want to sleep with other people either. So it's kind of like I'm the one who's more interested in polyamory, sure, and he's just fine being in a
committed. Point this out to you. There are some couples that are called polymono or mono-poly, which means one of them is monogamous and the other one is polyamorous.
Oh, okay.
And that's for couples that are, you know, whatever word you want to use, healthy enough, evolved enough, in love enough, where they're honest, where one's like, I don't want to date other people. That is beyond what I have time or energy or interest in, but I respect your interest in doing that, so you do that and I won't. And so that is an option. I love that you guys are talking about it, because if he is important to you, you'd want to get his support as you move further into exploring that. There's a lot of meetups. I don't know what city you're in. You're in Washington State?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know anything about that area, but I know LA, I send clients that want to explore this or deeply, you know, get right into it to meetups. You could kind of Google and see if there's any poly meetups, and that would be poly individuals in your area that meet up to, number one, find other couples that might be interested in doing that, but also to get social support, not feel stigmatized. Definitely do some reading. But at the end of the day, as Amber nods her head saying like, yikes, is that, you know, if your partner doesn't want to do that or isn't comfortable, you have a relational problem right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, most of us aren't necessarily built for that because of what we've been taught and socialized.
Right.
And so you gotta.
And how old are you?
I'm 25 and my partner is 28.
I mean, yeah, babe, you're so young, like, to be married and, like, have all these sexual feelings and things that you want to do in your life and kind of, you know, you're, like, basically tied down because you don't want to cheat on him, but he's just not really going to give you what you want. It's, you know, what about a separation for a while you find out, you know, what you want to do?
Yeah, I've thought about that, and that's something that I might consider if we just keep talking about that. But
because I just want to normalize your interest, it's appropriate for you to say. And I liked when you called out that his languaging isn't the best around it, because people that want more than one relationship, they often want it because they want more intimacy, more connection, more relationality. They're just built that way, and that's appropriate. Not everyone. Is built where they want just limited intimacy with only one person. But since you're already married and already with him, that's something to consider, where a lot of my clients are single. And so they date, letting the people they're dating know that they're interested in multiple relationships, or they've discussed with their partner and they're both on board. Like, those are the easy ways to go about it.
Right.
But when you're with someone who doesn't want to, and it's difficult, you're taking on more relationships. So it's more responsibility. More work needs to be done. It's not simple.
Yeah.
But keep reading, keep talking about it, be loving about it, and good luck.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
Good luck, honey.
It's so hard.
Yeah. Super. I mean, for her to consider like even separating or getting a divorce, it's because, I mean, like we say said before on numerous occasions, Dr. Chris, sex is very important.
Yep.
In a relationship, and if it's just the same old, and you're just not happy,
yeah,
it's fucked up.
And I know what it's like. You know, if you're raised not hearing words like polyamory or seeing things like that, and then your wife comes home and she's like, "I want to date multiple men at the same time." Mm-hmm. It's understandable. That's hard to hear.
Right.
It's not easy. I once tried to be part of a throuple, which is a little different, all these words.
Thruple.
But polyamory is kind of like, I'm dating multiple people and they're all not involved with each other. A thruple is three people that are all trying to be together, involved together.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And it was a man and a woman. And I remember going on a date with them on a Valentine's Day. And it wasn't easy, because what really was fascinating to see, each one of them wanted something different from me on that date. Mm. One wanted to really just talk and be intimate and be romantic. The other just wanted to fuck.
Yeah.
And so it was competing needs.
Right.
All in one room.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sitting there like a piece of meat.
Love that shit.
Like a piece of beef jerky just getting thrown around. Whiplash between the two of them. What do I do?
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah. Damn. I mean, I guess the ideal situation would be like all three people are just like super happy and you like share clothes and like go on dates. Like go shopping together and shit.
Oh, man. Yes.
All right. Really. We have Stephanie on the line. Come on in. I can only go as fast as fuck. She's a Jiminy Christmas. Hey, Stephanie. You're on with me and Dr. Chris. And Jessica,
hi, Amber. Hi, Dr. Chris.
Hey.
I just first wanted to say thanks for taking my call. And Dr. Chris, I think it's great that you prescribe porn to your clients. My fiance and I are very sex positive and porn positive. But my question is, I have a 9-year-old son, and talked openly with him about sex since he was about 6 years old. So I'm wondering how and when I can go about talking to him about porn so that he doesn't necessarily hear it from his friends at school as he gets older and feels like he has to hide it or be ashamed of it. So when particularly would be a good age, do you think, in your opinion, to bring up that conversation, and how should I go about doing it?
Well, before I answer, I want to throw it to Amber. Mm-hmm. Because I think, Amber, you have beautifully modeled age-appropriate, honest sexual conversation with your son.
Mm-hmm.
So he's 4.
Yes.
So he doesn't have access to online on his own.
No.
So he's not going to come in contact with this yet.
Mm-hmm.
What will be your approach when you get him a cell phone or let him go online?
You know, this is a difficult question for me to answer because my son is still very young. Mm-hmm. I would, instead of thinking about my son, I would kind of just think about me at 9 years old.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
More so than my kid, because I definitely was masturbating at 9 years old.
Yeah.
It was a different time, so we didn't have like online to like just go look at porn. But I have a really good friend where her son, she found porn on his computer probably around 11 years old. And, she put him on punishment and, took his computer away from him and told him that, that he shouldn't be looking at that filth. I personally would not do that.
Okay, I'm so glad you just said that.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure where you were going to go with that. That mother did not handle that the right way.
She did not. And I had a conversation with her, but every parent is different. I wouldn't suggest to go that route with your kid, because then they feel ashamed.
Yeah.
They feel dirty. They feel like they did something wrong, when masturbation is just such a natural thing for human beings to do, especially little boys. I don't know. I think maybe you can bring it up. If he's like, "Mom, I don't know what that is," then kind of just let it go for now And I feel like if you're really a hands-on mom, you're going to kind of see what's going on with your son, what he's looking at, you know, if you want to go through his history and not judge him for it or put him on punishment. If you see that he is looking at porn and stuff like that, then you can, you know, kind of go to him in a really cool way about it and just be like, just be like, hey, babe, not like, you know, I seen porn in your computer, because that's also kind of invasive and embarrassing when your parents see that. But more so like, hey, babe, you know, do you know about porn? Knowing that he knows about porn, and then get into the conversation.
Yeah, Amber, Amber's nailing it beautifully, because the number one problem around this entire conversation is always people shaming their child for a natural, normal, expected thing, whether we want to agree or understand it or not. Like, porn exists.
I just don't think that you should, I don't think that you should force the conversation on him now if you don't see any signs of him looking at porn or, you know, anything like that. I just don't think, maybe he's just not there yet, and it would be extra uncomfortable to talk about it right now if he's just not even into it. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
You'll know as a parent what your kid is into. You'll know.
Very much starting with privacy and having alone time. And I give him that, and I don't intrude on that, and I never would. But, yeah, I don't see any signs of him necessarily knowing what it is or being interested in it. And
Babe, even if he is looking at porn, it's it's all right. You know what I mean? If you if you see you know, as he gets older, a little bit older, and you know, maybe he's you hear him on the phone talking, you know, some crazy shit with his friends, because sometimes porn is like unrealistic to a lot of, like,
Completely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because that's the caveat to all this, is that kids need to have, and this is a big word, but kids need to have a critical analysis of everything they're watching, which means a parent needs to sit by when they're watching a violent film, a scary film, a sexual film, and explain to them that that's not real.
Yeah.
That when you're upset at someone, you don't burn their car down.
Right.
You know, like a video game.
Yeah.
That porn actors are actually actors, and that's not what real sex looks like, and that's not necessarily how a woman wants to be approached for sex. And, and to really just walk them through that it's an art form. Porn is an art form, like television, like movies, like video games, like books, and that it's not always how reality is. And don't embarrass them. Try to take cues from your child as to what's comfortable and what makes sense to them. But I always say, when in doubt, the younger the better.
Sure.
Because they will get exposed to it, and I'd rather you expose them first through some kind of conversation. So just start bringing up the topic of sexuality in general, anatomy, sex education in basic ways, and just see if you find yourself there.
Okay, great. Great. Sounds wonderful. All right, Stephanie. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. That's a doozy.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
Get ready.
I don't know. It's hard when it comes to kids, because it's like, I have my own relationship with my son. Yeah. I don't know her relationship with her kid. Right. I know that I'll know the right time to talk to my kid about it. It's just gonna be there.
I agree with you. I'm usually sitting with some of these parents in front of me, and I can get a sense of what their own comfort is, because that's also in there. You know, there's some parents where I have to work with them getting comfortable first before they talk to their kid, because if they did it right away, it would come out a little shaming, a little awkward, a little unsure. So it's like, let's get the parent comfortable talking about pornography. Maybe even they have to watch it themselves first to really even know what porn is, because some parents aren't even familiar with what we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an expected stage of development at this point. So, did I just see Anne run outside? Am I making that up? Okay. Like, what's going on? I don't know what's going on in here.
I have no idea.
I don't want that to be the prime sex educator porn.
For sure.
It's entertainment purposes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the best way to learn about things.
No, absolutely. Do we have another one or no?
Sure don't.
Ooh. Well, that's our show, everyone. Let me get the paper, because Anne left us by ourselves.
Oh, we actually don't have that either.
We don't have the paper. Anne, you fucking whore.
Yeah.
You whore.
But let's talk about Slutwalk for a second. Let's just drop a promo about that. So October 1.
Yeah, so we have the open conference September 30th.
Saturday.
Yes, Saturday. And then the Slut Walk, which is a celebration of women, LGBTQ community. We have a full walk. We're walking a mile. Yeah. So put on your
yeah, because last time we walked a block.
We walked like three.
Ooh, and that felt like five.
Yeah. So we're doing a mile this year. For tickets to Slut Walk, go to AmberRoseSlutWalk.com. Put in the promo code Thank You Reebok. Shout out to Reebok. They made Slut Walk free this year. They paid for everyone to come for free this year. So promo code Thank You Reebok. And
dudes,
come on out the Slut Walk.
When we need some ladies, bring some of the men. The men, it's a good place for them to understand, to learn about consent.
Yes.
Learn more about rape culture. Yes. Yeah. Some body positivity. Preach. Some feminism. Guys, rape is a male issue, so it's on us to figure out and learn how to manage that, not women.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'll be there.
Yeah. And you're speaking,
I'm
correct?
Speaking at the women's conference, too.
I know, that's right. All right, we have one more phone call. Anita is on the line. Hey, Anita.
Hi. How are you doing, Amber? Hi, Dr. Chris.
Hey.
Hey, girl. What's up? How can we help you?
So, my question has to pertain with more like personally just my attitude kind of lately. So, me and my boyfriend, we've been together for almost 3 years, and we've been dealing with, like, a lot of stress through our relationship. Like, a lot of stuff has been happening, just general life stuff that happens to everybody. But, like, when we're together and it's, like, sexy time, everything will be great and perfect, and then he'll do something that, like, I feel... like, it's just kind of like, how do I put it? Like, uncaring. Like, he'll leave me when I really want him to stay with me to, like, get up and grab something or, like, close the door. I don't know. It's like in the moment he'll, like, do something that kind of detaches from me or just says something that kind of, like, upsets me. And I get completely turned off and everything is over and I just kind of, like, shut down. And
you're like annoyed. You're annoyed with him. You're super annoyed. Yeah, maybe you need to miss him a little bit. Hmm. Maybe now that you guys moved in together, you're probably up underneath each other constantly. You need to go.
We've been living together for almost 3 years.
Okay, yeah. So that's even more so. So maybe you need to try to, you know, go and find another hobby and like kind of miss him a little bit more so the things that he does isn't like quite annoying, or have a conversation with him and be like, babe, you know, I feel like you don't think about me when you do this, that, and the third.
Yeah, because Anita, one of the things that kills sexual arousal is too much closeness. You can get so close.
Agree.
Yeah, that there's no ability to have a sexual spark.
Mm.
You got to find that right amount of closeness and space and distance.
Yeah.
And, oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Couples sometimes think like, let's move in. Let's wake up every day together. Let's spend every day together. Let's text all day. Some of that's awesome, but you have to have just the amount of space. So I say to some of these couples what Amber just said, which is maybe text a little less. Maybe say goodbye in the morning and don't talk again until he comes home at night.
We literally talk like a little bit all day, every day.
Too much for you guys. It's not working for
you. It's funny. Yeah. Okay.
A little space and distance.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I never really thought about that. Well, that's just normal, I guess, for me, because he's also just like my best friend and like always talking to him. And it's like so comfortable, maybe. Yeah.
But comfort kills sexuality. In the beginning of a relationship, we want to consume them. We want to be with them all the time. We don't want any distance. We want to know everything about them. And that slowly starts to kill sex. You need a little distance, a little mystery, a little space. Find a way to weave that in.
Okay.
I agree. All right, honey. Thank
Good luck.
You.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Have a great night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Okay, for your chance to be a part of our show, please leave your questions at 213-375-5258. Leave a message and our beautiful producer, Anne, will give you a call back when we shoot the show. That's 213-375-5258. And subscribe to our podcast at Loveline with Amber Rose. www.thepodcastnetwork.com. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.